T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Big news today, Kyle Dubas is the new boss in town. He's the head of hockey operations. He's going to hire a GM. But that statement in and of itself tells you that he's the guy calling the shots now. Him and Sully, I mean, that's going to be a very interesting dynamic, Ron, is how much power does Sully have with this GM, who's what, 14 years younger than him? Something like that. We already know that Fenway Sports Group loves them some Sully. Let's ask Matt Wenzel about that, shall we? Matt Wenzel.
Let's do it.
Matt Wenzel of the Post-Gazette. You know him. He's been covering the Penguins for a long time now and doing it very well. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. So, Matt, what are we looking at as far as the power dynamic within the Penguins organization? How much say will Sully have? What if Sully wants a certain player and Dubas doesn't want one and that guy and vice versa?
Well, sure. It's great to chat with you guys. I thought we'd have this talk about 2-3 weeks ago, but they did finally get their guy 7 weeks in. And, yeah, this is definitely going to be Kyle Dubas' show. Now, he is a guy who wants to collaborate in theory. You know, he talked a lot about integrating, kind of breaking down silos within organizations. He said that's what had to happen in Toronto. And, you know, they're probably going to have to do the same thing here in terms of getting analytics and the coaching staff and making sure everyone's on the same page here. But this is going to be Kyle's show. You're right, he's going to hire a general manager. He said he was looking for someone progressive to work alongside him and obviously sees a lot of the things the same way, maybe not everything. And I do think Sullivan is going to have a lot of say as well, but, you know, that said, he's still the coach. There's going to be disagreements. It's no different than any other front office coach dynamic. And it's just about kind of building that working relationship and going from there. And obviously results are going to be important with Sullivan as well. But, you know, Kyle said a lot of good things about Mike Sullivan, talked about the conversations he had with Mike and also Sidney Crosby before taking the job is playing a very prominent role in him taking this position, kind of getting that comfort level with them and who they are and how they see this next few years playing out. So, you know, I think, you know, you're right to kind of wonder how all this is going to play out with Mike Sullivan, but, you know, I think you got a pretty good GM here, it looks like, or president of hockey ops, I should say, and a great coach, and they just got to get together now and try to find common ground.
Matt, two things. Was Sully there today?
He was not, no.
That's interesting to me. He might be back in Boston for all I know. And secondly, just general impressions. How did Dubas strike you? First impressions.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bright guy. Seems like a nice, kind guy too, thoughtful. You know, he was talking about his experiences. I mean, he grew up in Sainte-Sous-Marie. He has ties to the Greyhounds of the OHL. And, you know, he got a job there as like a locker room attendant when he was 11. You know, he got hired as a scout there at 17 and eventually became the GM. And he talked glowingly about how that was his dream job. You know, he never thought about becoming an NHL GM. So you just kind of see the passion he has for the game. I know that, you know, some people have kind of labeled him as just like an analytics guy just because he was one of the first kind of early adopters in analytics in the NHL. But, you know, this guy loves the game. He actually, you know, used to play the game. He had to stop, I think, at age 14 because of concussions. But, you know, it showed through today that he's a passionate guy. He's a thoughtful guy. He cares about his family. He cares about the people that he's worked with in the past and will work through in the future. And, you know, I think Penguins fans should feel pretty good at bare minimum about the human being they just hired.
How about who's going to work under him? We've heard rumblings of Edzo. What are we looking at in terms of what type of position that is? What will that person actually do? Be more of a liaison between Dubas and other people? I see where Keith Jones is basically going to be, a jack of all trades, sort of a spokesperson with fans, broadcasters, everything else, but not have any real personnel power in Philly. How about the guy with Dubas?
Yeah, they were pretty vague about specifics about how that plays out. But, yeah, I think this is different than what it was here under the previous setup. I mean, when Brian Burke was here, he was the president of hockey ops. But he was more of the handshaker, the ambassador, so to speak, where Ron Hextall was calling the shots as GM. I think this is Kyle Dubas' show. It's not quite like that. So it would be surprising if it was somebody like Edzo as the GM. I mean, he kind of fits the profile of the hands-off president of hockey operations, or I shouldn't say hands-off, but hands and everything. So I think we'll see Kyle bring in someone, probably an up-and-coming executive, just like he was several years back in Toronto. I mean, obviously, it's got to be somebody who has at least willingness to embrace analytics and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think it's going to be, a rising executive who could come in and work alongside him because, the interesting thing, too, here with Fenway is, this isn't something that Kyle Dubas has talked about, and it's just kind of speculating. But, there's a lot of room for growth within that organization beyond hockey, too. So if, Kyle in 5-10 years is like, wants to move on to something else, I mean, there's even more room for upward growth. So I think it'll be more of like an up-and-coming type person working alongside him in that GM role.
Matt, tell me why I should feel better about Dubas than I do. I look at his track record in Toronto, and, he's done some good things. He won one playoff series there, though, in how long, 9 years on the job, whatever it was. Made some good moves, I guess, but way overpaid for Tavares, never figured out their goaltending situation there. Why should I feel better about him?
Yeah, I mean, those are the big criticisms, and I think they're fair criticisms. I mean, in terms of winning the playoff series, and obviously it's a results business, they were dealing with a young up-and-coming core. And, let's face it, I mean, Austin Matthews is awesome, Mitch Marner, some of these other guys. It's not quite the same caliber of core as the Penguins had or even Chicago had when their young cores broke through. So it's hard to win. He wasn't able to put the right supporting cast around him, but I also think some of that falls in and just the caliber and the personalities of their star players. But, yeah, that's the knock. And really the same questions, the same concerns that there were around Dubas in Toronto are the same thing here. I mean, he admitted, the big decision here with Tristan Jarry. He wants to get spend some time with Tristan, talk to Mike Sullivan, Andy Keogh, try to figure out how to go forward there. And the supporting cast as well. He's got to put the right guys around this unit. So, I do think it's a fair criticism. But what I like about him is, I think he's an outside-the-box thinker. I think he's humble. He knows analytics. He's creative. I mean, and they're in a really tough situation with their salary cap. 8 players have no movement clauses or some form of no movement clauses. He showed when he was in Toronto, even just, giving up a first round pick to unload the Patrick Marleau contract, that he was willing to kind of be creative. I mean, that was a deal we hadn't really seen at that time or many of, to unload a problem contract, and he's going to have to be creative. So we know he's bold, and we know, he's going to think of some ideas that maybe the previous regime didn't think of or wasn't willing to take on. So I think he's the right kind of personality and temperament for this role.
Do you feel like Jarry will be back? Do you feel like the Penguins will make him an offer? I do, because I believe Sullivan when he says he believes that Jarry is a top-tier goalie, I believe is the phrase that he used. I wonder if him and Dubas agree on that. I wonder if that'll be their first disagreement.
Yeah, I know this isn't exactly the hottest of takes, but I just think it's going to come down to the money and maybe particularly the term of the contract. I think the Penguins should at least talk to Jarry's camp and see what they're thinking, but they should be very hesitant, I think, to commit to him long-term. One, he has not proven to be reliable when they needed him most, in part due to injury. And two, those concerns about him dealing with, an injury that could affect him long term and affect his play. Those are valid concerns. I mean, that's a real thing that is out there with Tristan. So that should give them pause committing to him long term. So it's just a question of whether or not there's some sort of short term deal that the Penguins would be willing to do, but more importantly, that Tristan would be willing to do, because he is a two-time All-Star. There are teams out there that will at least look hard at him because of the caliber of player he is. So I think the only way Tristan comes back is if it's on a real short-term deal. And it's just a question of whether he's going to be willing to do that, and we'll see.
Matt, how good of a job is this right now? You know, we quoted Pierre LeBrun the other day saying they're a playoff bubble team for 2 years and then they fall off the cliff. I mean, how good of a job is this now? And what do you think long term, they told Dubas? I mean, you try to win right now, but then you're going to have to do some miraculously real rebuilding.
I mean, I still think it's a good job. I mean, this is still a prime franchise in the league that's had a lot of success over the years. You get to deal with at least a few years here with Sidney Crosby and some of these other players. I mean, I do think that's appealing. I think he probably made a lot of money. He's getting Fenway Sports Group, which I know they're still trying to figure out how to handle this franchise in the hockey business. But, you know, you're talking about a big-time corporation with a lot of room for upward growth down the road if he wants to do something differently. Again, I'm not saying he said that or that's what I'm hearing. You just pointing out the fact that, you know, there's a lot of different places to go in this organization if he wants to try something different. I mean, this guy is only 37 years old. So, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff there. I mean, it's a very good practice facility. They're making changes to the arena. So I think, you know, beyond just the team's ability to potentially win a cup right now, you know, I think there's a lot to like about Pittsburgh and the Penguins. And, you know, in terms of winning now, he admitted that he heard a lot of skepticism about whether his team's window was still open. And, you know, he said he looked at, you know, the fact that the Crosby's here and Sullivan's here and these guys are here and he's going to bet on them. So that's part of the reason why he's here. But he did talk about a two-pronged approach, how he put it, you know, trying to compete now and giving, you know, the aforementioned players and coach what they need to compete, and also trying to make that transition to the next era as smooth as it possibly could be. I mean, obviously that's easier said than done. You know, look at Ron Hextall and Brian Burke. You know, they tried to thread that needle and they didn't really accomplish either end of it. So it's going to be a challenge, but I still think this is a pretty good job. Maybe it's not the greatest job if you want to win a Stanley Cup right now, but I think there is a lot to like about the Penguins and the organization.
Who spoke on behalf of Fenway Sports Group and how did they come off, whoever it was?
Yeah, it was Tom Warner and Dave Beeston. John Henry was also there. He didn't speak. But those guys only talked a little bit because, I mean, we're the ones asking the questions and we were mostly talking to Kyle about, you know, everything that led him here and his past experiences and his outlook on the team. But I liked one quote from Dave Beeston, who had a big role in the search. He's the Fenway Sports Group executive who's been around the team for all of last season and dating into the previous season. But, you know, he was asked about the search taking so long. And he said, look, I'm thrilled with how it turned out because we got the guy we wanted in the end. So, you know, that's how the Penguins look at it. It was a long process. They were thorough. They talked to a lot of people. Dubas came in the last second and they went after him immediately and they ultimately got him. So, you know, I think they came off as a couple of pretty excited guys in the little bit they talked just about this hire and being able to get Kyle Dubas here.
Why did it take so long from Dubas' standpoint, Matt? I talked to some of the Toronto guys the other day, and they couldn't believe that it took, like, you know, almost 10 days to work this out.
Yeah, I mean, he indicated that he made the decision to come here earlier this week. I do think that the representatives from Fenway wanted to be here in person. They did it in the Lexus Club here at PPG Paints Arena. Honestly, this is my fifth year covering the team. That's the first time they've done a press conference in there. Now, some of that was, you know, pandemic related, but it seems like they wanted to be there in person and make this kind of a big event. There was a lot of people from the organization in there. You know, like I said, I didn't see Sullivan. I don't think he was there, but, you know, they had, you know, people lined up there for this thing. So I think that was a factor in why maybe it took a couple more days here for this to get announced today. But as far as Kyle goes, he talked a lot about just wanting to talk to his wife and make sure it was the right fit. I mean, he was genuine a couple of weeks ago when he was still employed by Toronto, when he said that the season was hard on him and his family. And he just wanted to do his due diligence. And, you know, Dave Beeston from Fenway talked a lot about how, you know, Jen Bolano, their VP of communications, and Jason Seidling, who does the logistics. I mean, they had to work a lot with Kyle Dubas's family to show her around the, or show his wife around the area, pitch Pittsburgh. You know, they joked that they should work for the Chamber of Commerce. So it seems like family was a lot of this. I mean, Dubas just wanted, just like the Penguins did, they wanted to check all boxes and take their time. He did the same thing with his family and making sure this was the right fit.
Well, hopefully for your sake,
his wife and his kids,
Matt, that he's more available to the media, because one of his criticisms in Toronto is that he was not available maybe once before the season, maybe once at that halfway point and at the trade deadline. And I see he was widely criticized for not being available. Now, I guess the Toronto market's a little different than the Pittsburgh market.
Yeah, I can't comment on that because I really don't know anything about that. You're right, the market's different. And also, I don't know how much that was up to Kyle Dubas versus, you know, the leadership there in Toronto who are directing those things. So we'll kind of have to see how things play out here. But, you know, I think here in Pittsburgh, I mean, we were so lucky with Jim Rutherford where he talked all the time. It was easy for us to get him on the horn, and he gave some great quotes. But I don't think that's really the norm. And as we saw with Hextall, you know, he was a guy who didn't talk a lot either. So I don't know what to expect there, but I don't know. I mean, you know, just one meeting, but I think Kyle came off today as someone who, you know, at least when we do get a chance to talk to him, he's going to be pretty honest and pretty engaging.
Any idea how long the contract is for?
I do not know that at this point.
That's going to be interesting to track, because if this thing goes the way a lot of people think it will, which is off a cliff in about 3 years, I don't know if this guy's going to have the stomach to want to do a complete rebuild. You know what I mean? I'm very curious how long his contract is, say, compared to Sully's.
Yeah, Sully's got, what, 4 more years?
Yeah.
I mean, I would be surprised if it was 3 years or less. I mean, he had so much leverage. I mean, they brought their entire search to a halt for 2.5 weeks to try to get this guy in here and had to pull up the nines to get him. I'm sure that if he wanted some term, that he got some term. So, you know, like I said, I don't know that yet, but I'd be very surprised to hear that if it was anything less than 4 years.
Last thing, he's an impressive guy. That's what I'm hearing from you. He's got,
I'm,
I guess,
easily impressed. I mean, I'm impressed by you guys too. So it's,
well,
hey, really easily impressed.
Then you just undercut everything you said.
You
about
lost Dubas. All your credibility, Matt.
But all we have to judge his hockey record by is his resume in Toronto. And quite frankly, to me, it's a little bit checkered, Matt. It really is. I mean, he inherited all his top end talent, his best guys he inherited. He never figured out the goalie situation, and they ultimately didn't win. They won one playoff series. I know they were hooked up with Tampa a lot, but man, there's a lot not to like about his Toronto resume, quite frankly.
Sure. Sounds like a good column there. But yeah, I mean, I understand the criticism, sure. I mean, he had a lot of regular season success. The core players weren't guys he brought in. That's not to say he didn't make some good moves and put some good players around them. And that's the thing. We don't really know what this stuff. You know, I like what I saw from him. I think he made a lot of sense just in terms of the profile he has. Fits the profile of guys Fenway has hired previously, guys like Theo Epstein. But, you know, we don't really know until these guys get in there and get the job and see how they do. And I will say, like, the way executives are evaluated here in Pittsburgh is just completely different than anywhere else, because they're one of the few true teams where every single year for, you know, 2 decades, it's Stanley Cup or bust. And that's just a really high bar to reach. And, you know, probabilistically speaking, he's probably not going to get there because it's really hard to win a cup. And the Penguins certainly have some challenges. But, you know, I think there's a lot to like with him as well. And, you know, we don't really know. You know, we can have our opinions on the hire and what we like and what we don't like and how it's going to play out. But, you know, all we can do is wait and see what Kyle learned from his time in Toronto and those experiences and how he applies it here with the current situation. And what I do know, it's going to be really fun and really fascinating to see all this plays out, particularly here in the next few weeks, because there's a lot of big decisions that he's stepping right into.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Enjoy yourself. Time. That's Matt Fensel. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Ron, you want to just go with Mulsey today?
Yeah, why not?
Sure. We haven't picked him in a while. He's an 11-time champion of this, Jolie. Do you like Mulsey? Have you met him?
Of course I've met him. Yeah, he's awesome. Mulsey's awesome, man.
He is a nice man. The time right now, 1:24, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Your initial thoughts on Kyle Dubas. What comes up for you? Visions of another cup?
Joe, I want to
visions of a fast demise? What do you got?
I want to interrupt you for what you said earlier.
Yeah.
And listening to Matt, I could just see it. Everybody's happy over there today.
Right.
They're all smiling.
Yeah.
The Fenway Group, Dubas, all the Penguins employees, they're all smiling
yeah,
today.
Exactly.
Did it interest you that they said Sully wasn't there? He could have been in Boston. I
yeah.
mean, you know.
That's an interesting note.
It is a note for me
yeah.
that if he wasn't there, and I can't imagine that Wenzel wouldn't have seen him if he was.
Right. I would have thought he might be
not an easy
podium,
man
yes.
to miss.
Right.
I would have thought he would be there.
Yeah. And then when the first day of work, so Kyle, I think Jari's a top tier goalie in the league. You?
Not really.
That could be their first disagreement, Ron.
Maybe. We'll
at
see.
The most important position. He never got it right in Toronto.
Never
for
did.
People
well,
that,
Samsonov turned out to be okay at the end, but he was like the third choice last
year. He's Samsonov, Ron. He stinks. He's okay.
The other guys
he couldn't win playoff series.
The other guys, they didn't score against Florida, you know.
He never got it right. And where is he going to be next year? He never got it right with the goaltending. And that's problematic. So for people that I'm seeing who are talking, writing, opining that this guy has some sort of impeccable resume or that it's unfair to criticize him for his time in Toronto, what are you talking about?
I have great respect for Josh Yoey, and he really just loved this hiring.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I saw he tweeted that it was perfect.
He wrote a whole piece about it, how it's the perfect fit for the Penguins. I don't know. We'll see.
You know, if you think that his Toronto resume is impeccable, I suggest you take a look again at his Toronto resume, okay? And I'm not saying he won't do a great job here. Listen, he's got the power now.
What did he have in Toronto?
That's the thing. When you analyze the Tavares signing, when you analyze everything he did in Toronto, how much of it had to be signed off on, how much of it was above him, I don't know. That's the point. Or at least part of it. 928-9370. It's a tournament unlike any other. Mark your calendars for June 23rd. The return of the Going Low Fan Open at Manor Valley Golf Course, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Keep listening to The Fan for the on-sale date for foursomes. Brought to you in part by Montucky Cold Snacks, Living Treasures Wild Animal Park of the Laurel Highlands, Goldberg Persky and White Attorneys at Law, and Movin' Murdy's.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kyle Dubas introduced as the Penguins' new head of hockey operations. He's the boss. He'll be making the trades. He'll be doing the roster building, or in this case, maybe the roster tearing down for a little bit.
The contracts, the whole business, right? The whole show.
Could I interest you in a gently used Mikhail Granlund, Ron? Does he put out an email to the whole league?
The answer would come back, no, you can't.
What if every
unless you give us a high round draft choice?
Every GM just answered no. He got 29 or 30. How many teams are in the league right now, Ron?
I can't keep track of the NHL
anymore.
Whatever.
I can't even read their standings. They can't even keep their standings straight. We have sound from Kyle Dubas. Jolie, why don't you tell us what's happening here? What do you have, like five clips of this man?
Via the Penguins, we will start with Dubas on the upcoming NHL draft.
You have a draft coming up in 4 weeks and free agency a couple days after that.
Right.
Obviously, you can't be that familiar with Pittsburgh's personnel and organization. Who will you rely on to give you input, you know, on which players should be retained, what you need in free agency, what draft prospects look like, that sort of thing?
Sure. Thanks, Dave. I try, and I think it's the responsibility in this job, and especially because Pittsburgh was a conference rival in my prior post, I try to stay as up-to-date both at the NHL level and the AHL level with every team. So I have my feelings on the group that's here. I have my feelings on the free agent class. But when it comes to who I will rely on here, I'll obviously rely heavily on the coaching staffs at both levels, at the NHL and the American League level, for their insights on the group. And then just in going through this process the last few weeks, it's been clear to me that there's a very good group of people here in the background that people speak very highly of. And then as I've begun to see their work in the last few days, I think it'll be very helpful for me in going through and informing that. As it pertains to the draft, I think last week, the amateur scouts were here and preparing for that. And it is a draft that that I do have a fairly decent knowledge on, and we'll use the next 4 weeks to focus on the draft and free agency to make sure that we're armed with the information that we need to make the best decisions. But in terms of who we'll rely on, we'll rely on every facet of the organization that's in place, as well as perhaps elevating some other parts of the organization and the input that they can provide.
How does he already know Molly's first name, Ron? That stands
well,
out to
he
me.
Might, they might have introduced themselves. I'm Dave Molinari.
Yes.
Sometimes they want you to give who your name is before you ask a question.
You think he hates Rossi already?
But Molinari's a Hall of Famer.
Soon
he is.
Before he starts hating people, Ron, I wonder. And who's first? Rossi, yes?
I would guess.
I think so. Well, I think that's first on the list. And I'm not saying that as an insult. I love Rob. If everybody likes you, you're probably not doing a good job. I don't mean to alarm anybody, but here's a headline from DailyHive.com when it comes to the Penguins draft under Kyle Dubas I'm talking about.
Daily Hive.
The Daily Hive. And I quote, "Why Kyle Dubas's terrible draft track record has been quietly killing the Maple Leafs." That's not inspiring, Ron, is it?
No. I assume he's had a bad pick or two over the years.
Maybe three. He's traded a lot of first-round picks, okay, as Jake Muzzin deal, Nick Foligno deal. I mentioned because he made he made a horrible mistake on Peter Mrazek that he had to trade out of that and get out of the first round. The moves he made at the trade deadline this year, which added up to one playoff win. By the way, what we never talk about is this is a severely declining Tampa Bay Lightning team, or at least declining. They're not what they used to be.
Right.
And they finally beat him. Good for them. Now he got rid of two more first-round picks to bring in guys that were rentals, Ron. So this guy writes on here, trivia question. How many players have been taken outside of the first round by the Leafs and are set to play in Game 4? I guess this was against the Panthers. The answer?
Zero.
Very good, Ron. Matthew Nyes was out with a concussion. He would be the one pick that stands out. Not exactly inspiring, but we're not allowed to criticize anything he did in Toronto, I guess, huh?
Everybody's,
because he likes pro wrestling? Is that the idea
everybody's
here?
Everybody's happy.
All right. Jolie?
Next up will be Dubas discussing the analytics.
You have a reputation for being an analytics guy. How much does Kyle Dubas really, as an executive, have to do with analytics? How much is not involved with analytics, just philosophically? And when you look at this organization, do you think some changes need to be made in that department and maybe some additions?
Well, what I would say is I grew up, for one, in the locker room in Sault Ste. Marie, and then in scouting, and then in player development. And what I came to, I know that that's the reputation, but what I came to deeply appreciate was that the data and objective information can provide you with a lot of detail and a lot of great insights that you can use to make better decisions. And so I just met the staff here very briefly on my walk over to this. So I don't know the exact extent of the work that they're doing. They all have great reputations, and if they need more staff added that add different elements, that's the route that we'll go down. And those have been the discussions with Tom and John, Dave and Sam about what the ownership group and what the management group at Fenway Sports is willing to do here to help the organization. So it'd probably be presumptuous of me to say exactly what we need. I know what we had in Toronto. And I think the key on it, Josh, is the integration of all of the departments. So I think that data and analytics can help to serve player personnel, player development, high performance, in addition to systems and tactics and whatever Sully and the coaching staff need. So I think it'll be trying to integrate them all. When in Toronto at the start, it was tough. There was the walls or silos between. I don't know exactly what exists here because this is my first 15 minutes on the job. But once we get through that, the goal that we'll be looking for is to have a deeply collaborative group that works together and serves to work together. And that's what we'll try to expedite here as quickly as possible.
He already knows Josh Yowie's name, or at least he, like you said, he's been introduced, but he's referring to them by name. I like that, Ron.
That's a nice,
I do.
Nice.
He's a man of handwritten notes. I can tell that already, too.
That is a nice little touch.
Somebody does a good job, Kyle Dubas drops by with a little post-it note in pen.
Maybe a few bucks included.
Thank you, Tom, John, Dave, and Sam. Is that their names at the top of
John Henry, Fenway? Tom
Werner,
and then Dave Beeston. I don't know who Sam is. Don't know who
Sam Lafferty,
buy
maybe?
Buy Sam a drink and get his dog
know.
One, too.
Sam Shulo from over at Pitt. I don't know who he's talking about. I don't know what we mean by analytics anymore. Isn't everybody into analytics? He's an analytics guy. What does that mean? What does it mean?
It just means it's a tool you can use. Like, I think he explained it very well. It is a tool. You have to use it. But you
everybody
don't,
does.
I just hope you don't just make all of your decisions, like, based on taking Mitch Keller out after six innings because the analytics tell you to. I don't like that part of
it. Does he provide an advantage in analytics over the rest of the league?
I can't imagine that. I can't.
Do you need to feed a bunch of numbers into a system to tell you that Mikhail Granlund sucks, Ron?
Maybe that wasn't a strong part of Hexie's job, but, you know, I don't imagine he's going to have a big advantage over a lot of other teams.
Hexie used a pencil and a notepad. And right. Kept filing cabinets with papers in them, Ron. Can't you picture that?
I can.
And Berkey used less than that. It was all, well, no, Hexie said it was all up in my head.
It was
all,
yeah, I didn't,
remember?
Have a, didn't have a plan.
He didn't even have a pencil, Jolie. Are you as big a Penguin fan as you are a Pirate fan, thick and thin? They've got Jolie.
I might lean Pirates just a little bit more than the Penguins, but it's not far off.
Yeah. How about the Steelers?
Probably up there with the Penguins.
How about Penn State football?
Penn State is like way.
Yeah, nothing. I was just going to ask him that. Yeah, that's a
way
different
he,
level.
He's a Penn Stater.
Yeah, Penn State
but
do you
I
have
wonder,
any other clothes but Penn State? You wear Penn State every day.
Every
All
day
Penn State.
He does. Something Penn State. You have a Belfont? I was just up at State College. I saw the sign for Belfont. You have
not
a Belfont
sure if I've
t-shirt?
Got anything on Belfont.
How
no.
far away is Belfont? Is it known for anything like Hershey is for chocolate? Is it known for the Belfont snorkel?
It could be that, because I can't think of any other Belfont that's around in the United States. So,
but I wonder, Ron, see, with the Pirates, Jolie is non-critical. He just loves them unconditionally.
Right.
I think with Penn State, he's such a fan that I bet he's a little rougher on Penn State football. Is that true?
Yeah, I'd say so, because I've obviously got the most passion for Penn State football than other sports.
You a Franklin
here.
Guy?
I'd say so, yeah.
Oh, a little hesitation.
Little hesitation there, Jolie.
That Rose Bowl they got over Utah was incredible.
Incredulent.
So, yeah.
Might be Franklin's best win with the program, if not the Ohio State win in 16.
I can't argue with that, Ron.
That was a good one.
Yeah, the whole analytics thing, I wonder about that. Boy, it's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, he's going to have to go in there. How do you even analyze that? Who's doing what? Where are we with our analytics department? Are we 10 years behind the times with the Leafs? We're, you know, cutting edge.
I'm sure there's people working everybody. In offices there that I wouldn't even know, wouldn't know their names. And they're,
right.
they're probably 8 hours every day on the computers.
You think he's met the replay guy yet? What's his name again?
Oh, he's really good, right?
What's his name? He saved two seasons.
Yeah, but Joey? Then they promoted him and he got a higher job.
I know.
I can't think of his name now.
Me neither. I got to think of his name. The guy won two cups. I hope his name was on the cup both times, don't you think? Where are you going, Ron? Oh, no. Another one of these situations?
It's time for a break.
You and Crowley are on pre-pattern pee breaks. Let's just be honest here, Jolie. Every day I see Crowley at approximately 9:55. I'm on the Zeiss plan. I show up like 2 minutes before the show. There's Crowley every day. And I've never asked him, why don't you just wait till the end of your show? Why do you go on the last break? And Ron, every day at like 1:44, he has to go, which I feel bad for, that I kept this segment a little bit longer.
It's okay, Joe.
Did you hear the Ron in diaper segment we did? I hope he's not listening.
I don't believe so.
I mean, he brought it up. Now I'll tell you about it later. What's cooking? Coming up next, let's make some predictions. Pirates get back to work tomorrow. They're only a game out of first place here. We'll do all of that coming up next. The Stanley Cup, I'm embarrassed to say, I know the NBA starts tonight, and I'm going to be all over that. Does the Stanley Cup final start tonight, Jolie? When does it start?
Saturday for the Stanley Cup finals, NBA tonight.
Why are they waiting till Saturday? It's 110 degrees in both venues. We're in the middle of June, headed toward July. Let's get the damn thing over with. Nobody's going to watch anyway, right?
I guess we'll find out.
Thank you, Jolie.
Thank
What's
you,
cooking is next. All right, Ron, you're not a big NBA
what a win
guy.
On the road, third win
but
in
this
the
is going to be a very interesting series to me. Nikola Jokic against Jimmy Buckets, all kinds of things happening. I want a prediction for you. Heat. Nuggets.
You know, guys have told me, my friends at Domenico's have told me, betting people, that the odds are so strong in favor of Denver that Miami is, you have to bet Miami.
Interesting.
You have to bet Miami. I'm going to follow their lead and say Miami in seven.
First of all, I root for Denver. I love Denver. I go back with my Denver Nuggets days to people like Alex English and Kiki Vandeweghe and Fat Lever, or was it Fats Lever?
And that big guy is
Jerome Lane. One year they had the guy, Paul Westhead, coached them in the NBA one year. Ron, they scored 150 points a game.
The big guy's really good too, isn't he?
Jokic is one of the greatest players of all time.
Of all time. Who's Miami star? Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Buckets.
What do they call him? Jimmy
yeah.
Buckets?
Yeah. He's pretty good.
I don't know. Who are you going with, Denver?
Wavering, but I'm going with Denver and I'm going to be rooting for Denver. I want them to win. Like I said, I love Colorado. I love the Broncos when I was little. I've never told Horst that, but the Orange Crush with Randy Gratishar and Tom Jackson and Barney Chavis and Louie Wright.
Just going to say, those guys. You better not say anything to the Horseman.
Remember Craig Morton took him to a Super Bowl, Ron?
I do.
He got his head taken
off.
It
is beautiful country there, isn't it? You go in there to those mountains.
Man, I love being in that city. And there's one road that takes you up into the mountains. And then...
I told you, I took that road up to Laramie. Laramie, Wyoming.
How long did that take?
I can't remember, but it was just a beautiful drive.
Why were you going to Laramie?
Because Wyoming, this was back in the day where we'd spend money to cover stuff.
Yeah.
And they'd say, look here, the Wyoming football team's two in the country and they're playing the fifth team in the country.
Yeah.
Why don't you go spend a week, write about what it's like to be a football fanatic in Wyoming. And I went out to Laramie, and I spent a lot of time there and covered that game.
Oh, that was legitimately what you were covering? Just
yeah.
a random Wyoming game?
But a Wyoming story. How did this program in the middle of nowhere
wow.
become like the third-ranked team in America?
I love that.
That was back in the day when we did stuff like that. Now, we don't do stuff like that.
No, we don't. It's I'm going to take Nuggets in six is what I'm going to do. But I don't feel confident because
you'll
I have
be watching
a lot of
every
respect.
Game, correct?
Yes. You do you still... think? Yeah, I'll watch every game. I'm way into it.
More than the hockey.
Different universes, Ron.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I probably won't be watching the hockey.
As you point out, in both venues, it'll be over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And Vegas, for sure. And Lauderdale's going to be close, if not.
And they wait. Can't they move up the schedule? What, do they want to get into July?
Saturday. I know.
Do you think if I walked through downtown Pittsburgh or even this office and I asked 1,000 random people, hey, how are you?
Who's playing for the cup?
Who's playing in the Stanley Cup final? What percentage would I hit?
You'd have a better chance asking if they'd like Cornish hens.
Jolie, do you have that line? Did Folsey leave you any of the Cornish hen clips?
I'd have to go take a look here.
That's all right. We can do it tomorrow.
Percentage out of 1,000?
I say 10%.
Maybe a little more. Maybe 20, 25.
Don't be surprised if I do that before the show tomorrow, Ron.
Okay.
And I'll bring back the evidence.
Not on your golf course.
I won't skew the evidence. I promise you, if I go ask random people, I'm just going to take every one of them and count it, okay?
Okay.
All right. It's a tournament like any other. Mark your calendars for June 23rd, the return of Going Low Fan Open at Manor Valley Golf Course, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Keep listening to The Fan for the on-sale date for foursomes, brought to you in part by Montucky Cold Snacks, Living Treasures Wild Animal Park of the Laurel Highlands, Goldberg Persky and White Attorneys at Law, and Moving Murdy's. What's Cooking, brought to you by Mr. Reuter.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
Very kindly. Call 412-REUTER-2. What's Cooking, also brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Ron, I'll see you in the morning.
Joe, we will do it again. Let's say thank you to our man, Jolie, on the other side
Jolie,
of the glass.
Jolie, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
It's always fun with you, Jolie. Thank you for a good job.
I'm having a horrible problem here, Jolie, in that my last read is on my phone, which you're charging in your office there. So why don't we go to your sports update or some such thing, and then I'll come back with my read.
We're all set, actually.
Very exciting for the listeners to see how the sausage is made.
And maybe, Joe, tomorrow morning we'll see each other at 10 o'clock.
I love you, Ron.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.